This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On, the little podcast all about navigating life. And I think we're going to get some great navigation today from our skipper,
Dr. James.
Dr. James Mellon. We have so much to talk about, but the one note that keeps playing over in my head is this from your book, The Five Questions. What you're looking for, you're looking from.
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand that. So let's unpack it in just a bit. First off, we have to mention it's a very humid day in New York's Hudson Valley, a place you're not unfamiliar with, even though you're West Coast now. You used to spend some time here when you were on Broadway, yes?
Yes, I love the Valley. Are you kidding? And I live in the Valley in Los Angeles now. I just seem to like valleys.
Yeah, valleys.
And I remember the humidity. Yeah, I handle you that.
Humidity of summer, man. It is here. Our July is now just exactly like August.
Uh-huh. I was just there. I came in to see the closing of the picture of Dorian Gray.
Oh, wow.
So I came into New York and I was like, oh my God, I forgot what this was like. And I used to ride my bicycle from 87th Street to the Minskoff Theater to do West Side Story. So I was like, I don't remember being this hot.
Yeah. Yeah. How does the city look to you?
You know, it looks pretty good to me. I think it looks really clean and it was very alive. It was very exciting, to be honest, to be back. And I mean, we come back all the time. We produce shows in New York, but it was really, I felt like I could live here.
Yeah, good. We'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I plan on being back.
Good. All right. So The Five Questions is your latest book. And I feel like these questions are the type of things that we're going to hold as gems with us for the rest of our lives. Tell us what brought you to write this book.
Well, it's actually a funny story and it's in the book, but I was teaching a workshop. I was doing a conference and somehow I had screwed up the day of my workshop and I thought my workshop was the next day. And so I'm walking down the lane and this student came by and said, I'm so excited for your workshop. I said, yep. I said, tomorrow. She went, no, it's next. I was like, what? She said, it's in 20 minutes. I said, no, it's not. It's tomorrow. She goes, no, it's today. Look at your calendar. And I was like, oh my God. And I went and I sat under an oak tree and I went, okay, I'm an actor. I am a writer. I can do this. I can be spontaneous. And I just closed my eyes and meditated. And these five questions came to me in this exact order. And I heard them. I wrote them down. I walked into the workshop, put on some beautiful music, made everybody lay on the floor and took them through 2 hours of these five questions. And people were sobbing and crying. And I was like, boy, if anyone ever didn't believe in the inspirational nature of the universe, this is a great example.
Do you feel the universe conspired to give you that minor mishap so you'd be in the perfect mindset to receive these questions?
You know, that's a very good question. I don't know. I don't know if the universe inspired or I just have to get better with my calendar. But but I do believe this. I teach this thing called AEPs. AEP, already established premise. So we live in this quantum universe where everything is creative. So an already established premise means like, Casey, like you probably have a very positive outlook on life, I would think. Just the very nature of the type of show you do. And you probably believe that the world is always conspiring for our highest and our best, right?
Sometimes.
Mostly. Okay. So that's your AEP of life. Well, when your mindset, your vibration is set to that signal, that's what you attract. So I believe my life is always unfolding perfectly. That's like my logo. My life is always unfolding perfectly. So yeah, maybe the universe conspired and said, you know what, let's throw him off track because if he tries to figure it out, he might work too hard. Let's get this easy. Let's just bring it right in and do it. So yeah, I can agree with you on that.
Yeah, wonderful. And your AEP, one of your AEPs is probably, I have everything I need. Because in that moment, you didn't say, I'm going to cancel.
No, my God.
Let me go sit under a tree.
You know, as an actor, that was one of my biggest strengths. I'd be in an audition and they'd say, "Do you juggle?" I'd be like, "Yep." I knew I could learn, you know. And here's a big one. I went into an audition. I really wanted this part. It was the guys that wrote The Fantastics. And I wanted to do this, their brand new musical. And I walked in, and one of the first things they said, Do you walk a tightrope? And I went, as a matter of fact, I do. And they said, really? I said, yeah, I went to circus school. I made all this up, by the way. I said, I went to circus school and I had to walk a tightrope. They went, oh my God, that's great. Anyway, I did get the part. Then I had to walk the tightrope. Boy, was that a chore. But I learned, yeah. I believe we can do anything. I believe we can do anything. We just have to put our mind to it.
And what was the name of that show? The guys?
Murette. Oh, Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt, who wrote The Fantastics. It was a show called Murette, and it was a Goodspeed Opera House.
Ah.
Right up the road from you.
Wow.
A few hours.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. How did you go from theater to doctorate in, what is your doctorate in?
My doctorate's in consciousness. Well, consciousness studies.
Conscious. From Broadway to consciousness studies. I guess it's not that far of a leap, but what compelled you to follow that path?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was going to be a priest when I was young, when I was a boy. I always thought I'd be a priest. And life got in the way. I was like, well, I'm not being a priest. I give up too much. So I ended up being on Broadway, and I really was. That was my destiny, to go sing and dance and act. But while I was playing Riff in West Side Story on Broadway, I was teaching morality at St. Gregory the Great on the Upper West Side, the Catholic school, to public school kids. I was always involved in church. I just always was. And then something happened the summer I played Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar. And I came back from touring as Jesus. And I had this feeling of like, something's missing in my life. And church isn't doing it. And I found Eric Butterworth of Unity. And I started going to Avery Fisher Hall every Sunday with the other 1,500 Broadway actors that went to hear him speak. It changed my life. And I just kept going. And then I wrote a musical that took me to Los Angeles. And I met a minister out here who was very much in the same new thought, metaphysical place. I started taking classes. And next thing I knew, I was like, I think I'm going to be a minister. And I have to tell you, my husband, he was like, no, you don't. No. I had just been signed by CAA as a writer, director, actor out here. And he was like, why would you do this to your life? I said, I don't know, but it feels like I should do it. And I did. But Casey, here's the best part. I didn't like go buy a church or go rent a church. I rented the theater and then bought the theater and opened a giant theater company in Los Angeles where I ran my church and a theater company for 15 years.
That just makes so much sense.
Doesn't it? Because religion really is theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was great.
What's the name of that church?
It's called the Global Truth Center.
The Global Truth Center.
And we're all over the world. I mean, you know, we do Sunday services every week and people watch us from all over the world because we have a 5-camera shoot because we're theatrical. My motto in my ministry is enlightenment through entertainment. And it should be done everywhere. Broadway, theater, dance, you know, movies, television. And it can be.
When you think of Jesus roaming, you know, Jesus land, telling stories, that was theatrical too.
Of course. They didn't have Netflix back then.
Right.
No, they had Jesus telling great stories.
Yeah, wonderful. So we're going to now jump into what you're looking for, you're looking from. I think I need to know what that means.
Sure. So I don't know where you are in terms of what your metaphysical or spiritual feelings are about the universe, but do you know much about quantum mechanics or quantum science?
Yeah, for the 10 minutes that I'm reading that chapter, and then it goes right out of my head. So yeah, I read about it. Yeah,
totally get it. So quantum metaphysics is this brand new branch of quantum. The quantum field is a creative field, and it's energy. And people are nothing more than energy. And I don't want to say nothing more. People are energy, which is spectacular. Your brain, your mind, your body, we are nothing but particles in space. And so there's this one field of energy that we all are. And from that field, everything is there. Oh, wait, you've had Elizabeth Gilbert on your show.
Yes.
So she must, yeah. So she must have talked about her book, Big Magic.
Yes, yes.
So, so Elizabeth, yeah, we did a conference together. Elizabeth, you know, she has this understanding of quantum as all the ideas and all the creativity of the universe floats around and you just pick them out. And if one comes to you and you don't do it, it just leaves and goes to someone else.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the quantum field. So it's what you're looking for, the energy you use to focus is the same energy that is using to focus you. So what you're looking for, you're looking with. You're not separate from it. You're immersed in it. Mm. We create this dualistic world of God, especially. God's out there, and then there's me. Mm. There's not. I'm looking at God when I'm looking at you, Casey. You are an expression of God, and you are not disconnected from all that God is. So what you're looking for, you're looking with.
Right, right.
Now, that's what that means.
Thank you. Give me an example of a real example of that. If I'm looking for, I don't know.
What do you want? Tell me something you want in your life.
I wish it was more exciting, but I would like fitness, more fitness.
Okay, that's a beautiful one. I don't know if you know, I have a program called BODS. Being our dynamic selves. Okay. Being our dynamic selves. It's a program. It's a 30-day program that turns people's minds around about their bodies and about their food and about their health. It's really a cool program. I do it once a year, usually in the spring leading up to bathing suit weather. Anyway, so you want more health. You want more vitality. You want more energy, right? So that already exists. In the quantum field, your physical body is not exactly what it is right now. It's just, this is the representation of what you've done with the energy you've been given for this life. You've created this body. I'm not going to say how old you are or are not, but however many years it's taken you to get to right where you are, all of that has impacted the body you're sitting in, right?
Right.
Yeah. But the body you're sitting in is nothing but energy. And that energy can be moved, turned, can be reimagined. All of that comes from the mind, consciousness. Mm-hmm. And the body follows the mind. Most people really don't get involved in this. The body follows the mind. Haven't you ever gotten yourself annoyed and your body just feels terrible?
Mm-hmm.
And haven't you been sick? Like wake up in the morning and you wake up and go, oh my God, I feel awful, but I have so much to do today. I can't think about this. And your body then reacts and you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of power. So the idea of being our dynamic selves is go back to your mind, go back to your consciousness, take charge of your body. You want a different body? Live in it.
Live in it.
And you can, and you really can. I just did a 13-week program on my body because I wanted to change some neuropathways in my brain. And I wanted to just change what was going on in my body. Actually, to be really honest, this is going to sound a little egotistical. I wanted a washboard stomach again.
Right.
I was like, you know what? I just turned 70. I was like, I want to look like a 70-year-old no one's ever seen before.
Yeah.
Except maybe Jack LaLanne. And I was like, I now have a washboard stomach again. I have the body I had when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, here's the thing. If you're going to teach something, you better be able to prove it. Right. Can't just speak it and not do it.
So did you have a mantra during these 13 weeks that I might steal?
You know, I don't know if I had a mantra during those 13 weeks. I just followed this course that I put together. I just followed it. So no, I think, you know what? My mantra would be more internal, which was that I know I can create the body I want.
Yeah.
And there's a good one for you.
Yeah.
I can create the body I want. And I always add three little words at the end of everything I do.
Please.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Ooh. Yeah, that solves a lot of muckiness that could come up. No, that's what wipes everything clean.
Yeah, because like my life is unfolding perfectly, no matter what. And I'm going to tell you a little. It's a sad story, but it's a story that's in my book, The Five Questions. My daughter, my beautiful 19-year-old daughter, who was full scholarship at UCLA, 5'9", blonde hair, blue-eyed, gorgeous singer, dancer, actress, writer. She was on top of the world. And Thanksgiving weekend, her freshman year of college, she went out to dinner with a friend and they were hit by a drunk driver and she passed. And it was, as you can only imagine, an unimaginable grief that overcame me. And somebody wrote on Facebook, and I don't think they meant to be mean, but they wrote on Facebook, "Dr. James, I think you're going to have to reevaluate life unfolding perfectly." Mm. And she passed, the accident was on a Sunday and she passed on Thursday. It took 5 days, interestingly enough, with the five questions. And I was going to take time off. I was going to take a sabbatical to try to pull myself together. But that comment on Facebook was all I needed. I was like, you know what? Do I believe that life is unfolding perfectly? And do I believe no matter what? Because this is the biggest no matter what could ever possibly happen to me in my life. And I, at the deepest part of my being, knew that I believed it. And that was Thursday. On Sunday, I got up in front of my congregation and I spoke and I talked about this Facebook post. And I said that I didn't think the person was being mean, but if you're going to question me, then I'm going to get up and answer the question. And I said, Nora was 19 years old. It would be a travesty for me to stand up here and say that she didn't live a full life, that she didn't do everything she came here to do. I don't believe in victimhood. I don't believe that she was cut short. I believe she did what she was here to do. And now she's on doing something great. The tragedy is that I'm left without her. That's for me to deal with. I will not dishonor her and say that her life didn't unfold perfectly. And people were like shocked and really surprised at that reaction. But you know what? That was the saving grace of the entire experience for me and my husband, her brother, her twin brother. You know, they heard me say that and everybody, we all fell in line and went, you know what? This is the truth. This is the spiritual truth. Now let's go about the business of dealing with our grief, because that's what's left.
And it would have been such a disservice to her if everyone had stayed shrouded in this is horrible, she was robbed.
Yeah, and the anger. I mean, do you know, honestly, I never had anger at the 18-year-old girl who was drunk, who was in the car that hit her, who drove the car that hit her. I never had anger because my mind was so clear that that could have been my daughter or my son making a stupid choice. You know, so I never had anger. Anger about losing her, yes, but anger at the person never came up, just never did.
Right, because you understand. You understand that.
Thank God. And now go back to what you asked me before. Maybe the universe made me a minister. Mm-hmm. So that by when this happened, I had a bedrock of faith to lean on.
And then that bedrock of faith was sent out and amplified to the multitude.
Yeah. So. Yes. And frankly, the book. So I'd already written the book. The book had just been finished. The book finished, I finished the summer of 2018, I guess it was. No, yeah, 2018. And I'd given the book to Nora to read. And she read it and she went, "Dad, there's a lot of good stuff in this book and there's something missing. I don't know what it is, but there's something missing." I was like, "Well, what do you know?"
Yes.
You're 18 years old. You're 19 years old. But you don't talk. But I really trusted her. And she was a great writer. And she said something was missing. And I read it again and looked back at it again. And my publisher didn't feel that way. My publisher at the time, I was working with Hay House. And they were like, "No, it's really good. This is really..." And then the accident happened. Mm. And I couldn't pick the book back up. And it took me a number of years to pick the book back up again. But when I picked it back up, what I realized was I needed to rewrite the book from the perspective of how I used the five questions on the 5 days it took for Nora's life to pass. And I did. Every day I used a different question. And the questions were pretty profound. The third question is, "What wants me to release it?" And when that question came up and my son came to me and he said, "Dad, you know that question in your book, 'What wants me to release it?'" He said, "I think we know the answer to that." I was like, "I know." We just stood there outside the ICU crying. But it's true. You know, there's energy in our life. There are things in our life that no longer belong in our lives. They're just no longer useful. And bodies are like that. Memories are like that. Beliefs are like that. You know, old beliefs that you're still carrying around with you. Your mother told you you were worthless. You're still carrying that around with you. You know, you're 68, 70 years old and you're still going, "Well, when I was in 10th grade, this happened." It's like, oh my God,
yeah.
Release it. So it was really profound to use the five questions that way. And that's when the book finally happened. That's why I finally finished it just last year. I've said, you know what? I'm going to really be personal and tell the story of how these questions work, what they mean, and how you can use them in the most profoundly difficult moment of your life, or in the most just simple moment of your life where you just want to know, why am I here? That's the first question. Why am I here? I ask that all the time now. I could say it right now. How did I get with Casey Green on a Monday morning and she's on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast? What is it that wasn't, why is this necessary in my life? Because there's some reason why you and I are sitting here.
Because this story needs to be told to somebody who listens.
Yeah.
You're on the East Coast, right? We're talking to Dr. James Mellon. His book is called The Five Questions. We're all going to get it on Amazon. So we know the first question, why am I here? Why am I here right now in this moment? We know the third question.
What wants me to release it?
What wants me to release it? What an interesting, interesting way to express that. What wants me to release it is the third question. So we have to finish out the group here. The second question.
Okay. The second question is, what wants me to know it? So it's, why am I here? What wants me to know it? Right? That's like the Elizabeth Gilbert thing. There's so much in the universe that wants to know you.
No. What wants me to know it? Now, this way of thinking makes the quantum field feel friendly.
Yes. And it makes the quantum, it activates the quantum field for you, right?
Right. So,
yes.
Am I here? What wants me to know it? The third question is,
what wants me to release it?
Okay. So does that mean there's something in me? Well, obviously, there's something in me and each of us that wants to get out of our betterment, wants to get out of our energy field.
Yes. And you just said it a minute ago, by the way, because it can be anything. What wants me to release it? Maybe you want to release 10 pounds. Maybe you want to release any kind of energy in your body that's slowing you down.
Right.
You know? Maybe you want to release a belief that you can't do it.
Yeah.
So many different things.
I want to release using pasta as a comfort.
I'm going to Italy next month, so I'll be doing pasta.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's so funny you say that. You want to release the use of food in a way that is not beneficial to you.
1,000%. That's exactly right. That's
yeah. So you want to eat food because you want to eat food and you want to be healthy about it. Pasta is not the problem. It's the reason that's the problem. Then you can sit down to a big plate of pasta and have it beautifully because you're like, I'm not eating this for any other reason that I choose to eat this right now. Yeah.
Fourth question.
What is mine to do right now? And right now is the big part of that. Because most people say, what is mine to do? And I'm like, oh my God, it's so hard to go. What is my purpose in life? What is mine to do right now?
Right now.
If we can stay present and do that. And then the last question, which is the hardest question for most people, do I know how great I am? Most people don't. Most people can tell you who they are and they'll tell you their jobs and what they've succeeded at or failed at. And none of that is who they are. You are the quantum field. You are infinite potentiality waiting for you to say yes to it. That's how great you are.
You got to repeat that.
You are infinite potentiality waiting for you to say yes to it.
God, I felt that in my heart. Oh, my goodness. Dr. James Mellon, the book, The Five Questions. Go get it on Amazon. When you were in the Hudson Valley, did you ever go to Graymore, that big religious property on Route 9?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's up on a hill. It's a monastery with friars.
No, I'm shocked that I missed it.
I know. I'm shocked that you missed it too. You got to come back. That's all. Next time
call me. I'm going to call you. Yes, you'll come to New York or I'll go up there. And yes, this is just the start of something lovely.
Dr. James Mellon, I want you to go to Italy and eat pasta, but come back with a washboard stomach no matter what.
Yes, that is a perfect way to send me off.
Your website is jamesmellon.org?
Yes.
jamesmellon.org.
Yes.
I can't wait to see you again. Have a great trip.
Me too. Thank you, Casey.